Welcome to the Outkicked Our Coverage College Football Podcast. Be sure to like us on Twitter at Outkick Coverage. There, I did it. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Yes, I did. And if you're listening on iTunes, give us a nice 5-star rating. I am Robbie Hughes alongside Nick Sellers. Nick, what's going on, man?
Well, you might notice, loyal listeners, that this podcast is going up on a Friday.
Yay!
We attempted to record on Wednesday night and had some technical difficulties.
Yay!
That were of, you know, no fault of our producer, Robbie.
Yeah, it is.
No, absolutely not. I will not let you fall on your sword again. So we're taping on a Friday. We're going to briefly touch on some recaps from last week, although that news is almost a week old. We still want to talk about some of those games. Going to recap. We're recording now on a Friday. I keep saying that. And obviously touch on a big, big weekend, week 3 coming up. Really, really feels like we're going to separate the wheat from the chaff this weekend. A lot of teams that we think are pretty good, but we're not really sure how good they are, and they're playing each other. So it should be a pretty exciting weekend. But yeah, it's going to be kind of a loosey-goosey, off-the-cuff, a little more relaxed version of the podcast. We trim things down a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show. I'm excited about the show. I was excited about it Wednesday because, we were rolling. We were rolling, Rob.
Yeah, we got about 35 minutes into it. And if you're a loyal listener, you know they're about 45 minutes anyways. And then it happened, and both of us just kind of, I think we just looked at our hands.
Steam, you know? We were like a group of five opponent playing a power five opponent. Yeah, you hung around for a while, but at the end of the game, you just kind of ran out of steam. We just didn't think we could duplicate the energy that we had earlier in the show. Plus, you know, Robbie's got a baby. I've got school.
Well, Nick, you want to get to the week in the chaff?
Yeah, well, let's, yeah.
Michigan State, Oregon, who was the week and who was the chaff?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to assign those terms, but Michigan State, Oregon, what a great game of football. We do want to thank Michigan State and Oregon for playing a tremendous home-and-home. Great game last season, great game this season. Couple of quick takeaways. Vernon Adams, kid's going to be okay. I thought, you know, he didn't look like he panicked. I thought, you know, his size might be a concern. A little short, little kind of scrawny looking. Might get, you know, ripped in half by a couple of Spartans, or might not be able to see over that line. but he was okay. Made a couple bad decisions, but that's to be expected. But did have the Ducks within 3 late and a chance to win the game, all with a broken finger, we found out later, no less. Dude, Sparty's going to be really good this year. I really like this Spartans team. For a couple years now, they've been kind of steadily climbing the mountain, and this was kind of a statement win for them. Circle November 21st in the calendar. Sparty could upset Ohio State's apple cart and shake up the national title conversation. So, yeah, great game. Really thoroughly enjoyed it and excited to see what Michigan State can do. And I hope Vernon Adams' hand's all right because he was very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, and anyone who can throw for 300 yards on a broken finger gets my vote of confidence, I must
absolutely
say. But that wasn't the only great game of the day. We had a game go to double overtime.
Do love some overtime.
Oklahoma and Tennessee. Oklahoma coming out on that one 31-24, Nick.
Yes, sir. So Baker Mayfield, 19-39, 187 yards, 3 TDs, 2 picks. Sooners quite a record crowd, I believe it was, at Neyland Stadium. And Tennessee drops to 2-34 versus top 25 opposition since 2008. Poor Vols fans. Tennessee defense wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be after they gave up almost 600 yards to Bowling Green the previous week. Baker Mayfield took over in the fourth quarter in overtime. Felt like he took a step forward in his development. Not saying Baker Mayfield for Heisman, but this was clearly another step in his development. Oklahoma has to feel pretty good about him being at the helm. Moving right along, again, this news is almost a week old, so we don't want to dwell too long on last week's games. Yeah, blowing right by. Going a little no huddle, Rob.
Heard it.
So last week we had Mississippi State, LSU, 21-19 LSU. Mississippi State kind of clawed their way back, but what happened in the end, Rob?
Well, you know, it was a pretty good game on the defensive side, but it was a very good game on the LSU rushing side. Leonard Fournette, listen to his stats, 28 carries for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns against not only a top 25 opponent, but an SEC and SEC West opponent at that.
Indeed.
But yeah, let's talk about the end of the game, though, because this is the part that matters. End of the game, Mississippi State is down 21-19. Dak Prescott actually leads a pretty good drive to get them within field goal range. Now, some might say it's actually just outside of field goal range that all this happened, but they get down. I want to say it was a third down play. They have a chance for a 47-yard field goal, and Dak Prescott totally screws up on it. Makes a rookie mistake, gets a delay of game penalty called against him. It's a 5-yard penalty, pushes him back 52-yard what would be a 52-yard field goal attempt. They don't, of course, convert on third down, and fourth down, he goes to make the kick. LSU calls a timeout as the ball is being kicked. I'm sure you and I both, we both know we hate that in today's game when they call the timeout after the ball's already been hyped.
Yeah.
I mean, it ticks me off. Anyways, that one went way wide left, so Mississippi State didn't care. They liked it. Second try, though, very wide right. LSU wins 21-19.
Yeah. Bad mistake by Dak Prescott there, man. Yeah. You got to think your senior quarterback's not going to let that happen. But I digress. Moving along, late game, Boise State, BYU. BYU upsets number 20, Boise State, 35-24. What do we take away from this one?
Tanner Mangum, nothing else.
Yes, we have a great nickname for Tanner Mangum that we will reveal later in the show.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I hope you're ready for that.
And, of course, story of that game, late game heroics yet again by Tanner Mangum. You know, he's 45 seconds left to go in the game, and he hurls a 35-yard touchdown pass to Mitchell Juergens to give BYU its second last-minute victory in as many weeks as they win 35-24. Another fun little detail about the game, there was a Mormon nut punch by BYU lineman Uliu Lapuahu. Yeah,
dude,
did I just nail that name?
That was, yes, you did. That was flipping awesome.
Dead gum. And he was he grunted a punch to Bronco during that game. From what we've heard, he's not going to be suspended from the next game, but Bronco Mendenhall has punished him otherwise, and I believe maybe the punishment was to punch Uliu in the grundle many times.
Oh, he had to take one. Give a lick, take a lick. Got it.
But yeah, that was another great ending to another BYU game. Wouldn't be surprised to see them do the same against UCLA, which we're going to talk about later.
We will talk about later. Very interesting matchup coming up there. And definitely a wacky weekend in the SEC. You had Arkansas losing to Toledo. Kentucky beat South Carolina, and we're not going to talk about all those games in detail, but we do want to talk about Auburn needing overtime, number 6 Auburn at the time. Auburn needing overtime to beat FCS Jacksonville State. Jeremy Johnson, 21-32, 236 yards, 2 TDs, but 2 picks. Woof, man. Gamecocks had more yards, ran more plays, had more first downs, more possession, and turned the ball over 2 less times than Auburn did, and somehow they managed to lose. You gave me a great stat when we were prepping for the show on Wednesday. 29% of Auburn's drives have ended in turnovers. That's the highest in the Power 5. 29%. Not good. Not 30% of your possessions end in you giving the ball away. That is worrying. And you've got LSU this week, which we will talk about. And so let's go ahead and transition into the week 3 previews that are happening in less than 24 hours.
Yay!
And like I said at the top of the show, week three feels like we're going to find out a lot about a bunch of teams that we think are pretty good, and we're really going to find out how they stack up against some quality opposition. So why don't you go ahead and get us into this first matchup here, Rob?
You got it. Number 18, Auburn, playing at Death Valley, number 13, LSU. That game is going to be at 3:30 Eastern.
Me gusta.
Tomorrow or today, whatever you're listening to this
on. On Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. The question, the headlines for this game going into it really are, does Jeremy Johnson actually suck? Is Will Muschamp just full of hot air? He can yell really loud. What does Gus Malzahn do with the boogers that he picks?
Excellent photo from last weekend.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't. It seems like every time Gus Malzahn's on TV, he picks a booger. It just every time you watch a game,
phenomenal.
Keep an eye on it when they go to the close-up.
He is completing more booger picks to mouth than Jeremy Johnson is balls to Auburn wide receivers.
It's probably about 30%, 70%. It's the remaining. It's the remaining drives and in booger's pick. There we go. you know it. When you look back to last week, you have to see that LSU just, you know, like we said, they merely held off Mississippi State. That's really not to say that Mississippi State is a bad team. It's just that LSU didn't put them away quite like we thought we would. But I think that this week we're going to see Leonard Fournette really shred that Auburn defense. Maybe even get himself a 200-yard game from it, the way that Auburn's defense has been playing. You know, this is going to be where we start considering him for the Heisman. And sometimes you might have to wonder if Jeremy Johnson got got his eyesight from Jameis Winston, you know.
I believe you mean Jameis Squinston.
Jameis Squinston. Yeah, Squinston.
Jameis Squinston. So both of these schools, pretty underwhelming so far. But somebody's got to win this one. I think LSU has the superior defense. They are at home. They're in Death Valley. And based on Jeremy Johnson's current body of work, like you said, we don't really have any reason to believe that he can pull this off. He'll have to have a pretty much complete and total out-of-body experience to win this one. I'm not, you know, ready to bury him just yet. The kid is certainly talented. I think a lot of his problem is between the ears, but so far has not shown that he can rise to the occasion when need be. And not even rise to the occasion, dispatched in inferior opposition. I mean, Louisville's 0-3 now. You shouldn't really struggle with Jacksonville State if you're FBS number 6 in the country, Auburn. So I think LSU controls the tempo, their ground game with their ground game. Like you said, Leonard Fournette looking awfully fine. I saw a quote this week that an Auburn player said, Leonard Fournette, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, shouldn't be a problem. You hold on to that, buddy. Ugh, as he's barreling towards you,
yeah.
That mountain of man that he is. I think it could get ugly. Keep in mind that LSU beat Auburn 41-0 on the Plains last season. My only concern for LSU is if Les Miles gets a little too comfortable, a little too conservative, kind of like he did last week against Mississippi State, and lets Auburn kind of creep back into the game. Other than that, I gotta take LSU. I'm gonna take LSU at home.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say
football team right now. Brandon Harris isn't lighting the world on fire, but at least he's not making mistakes. So
you're exactly correct, and you just remember. I mean, Auburn's even lucky that they're not playing at Death Valley at night.
Yeah, you're count yourself blessed, yeah. Auburn, that this is a 3:30 kickoff.
Exactly.
Yeah, you are quite fortunate. another great game, also a 3:30 kickoff this weekend. Number 14, Georgia Tech at number 8, Notre Dame. Yes, you're reading that correctly, hearing that correctly. I'm reading it. You're listening to it. Notre Dame moved up in the AP poll from 9 to 8 after barely hanging on against the Virginia Cavaliers on the road last weekend and after losing 5 total starters to injury, including their starting tight end and starting quarterback Malik Zaire. And somehow we believe that the Notre Dame is a better football team this week than they were last week. not buying it. But so Georgia Tech, the Yellow Jackets, obviously run that triple option style. Shut down Alcorn State and Tulane in their first two games. So again, another one of those teams, well, you haven't really played anyone. We think you can do it. Think you have the talent to make some noise. Let's see if you can. I do love Justin Thomas, their quarterback. I think the dude's an absolute baller. And I think if Florida State doesn't win the conference, it's going to be Georgia Tech. It's going to be the Yellow Jackets this year. I think their offense is pretty tough to defend. And after a pretty physical and emotionally exhausting game for Notre Dame, their defense is definitely going to have to get up for this one. The big problem for Georgia Tech last year was defense. So with Malik Zaire out for the Irish, the Yellow Jackets are going to have to try and contain Deshaun Kizer and CJ Procise, who looked good last week. I mean, Notre Dame didn't do much through the air, but Procise was running the ball pretty well. If they can do that, they can hold on. If Georgia Tech can contain those two guys, they can hold on to the ball for long stretches of game time on offense and dictate the flow of the game. I like the Yellow Jackets to win this one. On the road in South Bend, I just think Notre Dame's a little too beat up, probably a little too gassed from last week. I think they'll be fine moving forward, but just the timing of this one and having to play a physical and exhausting offense in Georgia Tech, I think the Yellow Jackets are going to win this one.
Yeah, and I think one of the things Paul Johnson thrives on is being an underdog and people counting him out. I think the more he can do that, the more he'll like that. But like you said, I think a lot of people are really looking at Georgia Tech this week to actually defeat Notre Dame. So we'll have to see how that one turns out. Another game on the schedule for tomorrow. It's going to be a late one for you East Coasters. At 10:30 on Fox Sports 1, BYU and UCLA. Josh Rosen versus Tanner Mangum. The Rosen one versus the Latter-day Saint.
I love that. That is so good. We are so clever and brilliant.
We're so funny, too.
We are so funny. We're all now very familiar with Tanner Mangum and his late game heroics. This one is probably going to be past my bedtime, Rob. And, you know, as I revealed on the podcast a couple weeks ago, did cancel cable. So just figuring out how to get this one might be an issue. But I am going to try my darndest to stay up late for this one. And I'm going to try and find it on some illegal backdoor stream somewhere. A lot of people like UCLA to challenge for a Pac-12 title and a spot in the college football playoff. And I think they're totally right to believe that. BYU, we kind of touched on this a little earlier when we mentioned them. They cannot live and die by the sword. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, Rob. So they keep squeaking by in these close games with these late game heaves to the end zone. Eventually, you're going to get to a point where you're not going to be able to pull one of those off. And they're going to lose a football game. But if they're capable, and I think they are. We're going to find out this weekend against UCLA. I have yet to watch Josh Rosen at work. Obviously, being on the East Coast, difficult to see the West Coast guys a lot of the times. UCLA's defense, I think, is a little better than BYU's and has been pretty good through two games, including against Virginia, who we like, Rob. We're pretty high on Virginia. Mm-hmm. Played a couple tough non-conference games. Yeah, so two dynamic freshman quarterbacks, definitely a reason to stay up. I can't, you know, I'm not going to commit to chugging a Red Bull, but if I find the energy within me, I will force myself to watch this one. It's going to be a good one, I think. I think UCLA has college football playoff potential, and I think BYU could get there too if things shake out the right way for them. But we'll find out. Someone's going to lose on Saturday, separating the wheat from the chaff, as we said. We're still not really sure what that means. But
one of them will be the wheat and the other will be the chaff. We're just not sure which.
Yeah. That's bad analysis. Someone's going to lose. I shouldn't say that.
And you know, a lot of people are very high on Josh Rosen. He's already on a lot of people's short boards for the Heisman. So if you're a big fan of college football in general, you're definitely going to want to watch that game if you're awake for it, just to see what he can do. Well, I think it's time we break down the game of the week. We all decided that the best game of the week was probably Alabama versus Ole Miss. Alabama ranked number 2. Ole Miss ranked number 15. Give us some other reasons why we picked this game, Nick.
Well, you know, Ole Miss beat Bama last year.
There you go.
That was their only conference loss of the season. And what else happened in that game, Rob?
Something that hurts my brain to think about. Kenyon Drake breaking his leg. I believe it was in the third quarter. That kid had so much promise on the season. He was so much of their offense. And when he went down, that Bama team just didn't look the same for even the rest of the year. They may have won some games after that, of course. But they losing Kenyon Drake was a big blow. This year, Kenyon Drake is back, though. The defense last year for Ole Miss was looking good. And this year, Nick, looks to be just as good, if not better.
Yeah, I feel like we're doing a bad job of selling this. This is going to be a great game of football. If you love physical football, if you love it, opposing styles, Ole Miss is going to air the ball out. Bama's going to do what Bama does. Ole Miss has looked good this year. They defeated their two opponents this season by a combined score of 149-24. Granted, that was UT Martin and Fresno State, but while the rest of the SEC seemed to kind of struggle with some of the smaller schools, Ole Miss was crushing it, man. As you should against UT Martin and Fresno State. Still no word on whether left tackle
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil will play in the game. But from what they've done so far, they should be okay. Should have some confidence in Ole Miss QB Chad Kelly throwing over 550 yards this season, 6 TDs to just 1 pick. While he has thrown 550, their entire run game has only been 550. So expect Ole Miss to air it out. Laquon Treadwell, great wide receiver for the – are they still the Rebels?
Yes, they're still the Rebels.
Okay, still the Rebels. I know they've got – it's with confusing. They've got a bear mascot. So,
old Raves.
So they Chad Kelly and Laquon Treadwell are going to try and test, Nick Saban's pride and joy, the Bama secondary. He's that's kind of his unit on the team that he kind of takes pride in. So I think Ole Miss definitely has the front seven with Kim Dichie to slow down the Bama running attack. I'm not going to say they can stop, Kenyon Drake and the Henry kid, but they definitely have the potential to slow them down. So it should be really good, man. At night in Tuscaloosa.
Not to mention, we like you just mentioned, though, can they test Nick Saban's pride and joy, the secondary? Their run defense is extraordinary this year. It may be one of the best run defenses Nick Saban's had since he's been at Alabama. But unfortunately for Alabama, the biggest weakness on the team is their pass defense. Like you just said, Ole Miss has proven they can be pretty effective in one-dimensional pass offense. And we'll have to see what Alabama can do to maintain that run defense, but also take care of that medium to deep ball that I can go ahead and say that Ole Miss is going to probably just – they're going to do it a lot. I imagine it's going to be a frustrating game for Alabama since Ole Miss has a tendency to do read option pop pass plays where their O linemen are actually blocking 3 to 5 yards down the field. And Saban is one of those proponents, he wants to change that rule to 1 yard instead of 3 for those pop pass plays because, and this is just an explainer for anybody who's unfamiliar with the rule. If you run the ball, the blocker can, your O line can block downfield as far as they want to. But if you pass the ball, they can only go a maximum of 3 yards. And the referees just throughout all of college football are pretty notorious for not calling the penalties when they go past those 3 yards to block on passing situations.
Breaking it down for you, folks.
Yeah, man. And I think this is something that we're going to see in this game. And it's probably going to frustrate the heck out of Alabama in this game just because – You know, this is something that Auburn especially would do against Alabama, and even when Oklahoma beat them in the Sugar Bowl, they did this against Alabama too. And this is something that, you know, Saban in practice, they work on, you know, that 3 yards. They don't work on that 5 yards. So when they see those guys go past five, they go, oh, man, this is a run play because otherwise this is going to be a penalty. Wrong. They don't call the penalty, and right, they get blown out for a touchdown. Some more stories of the game will be, you know, so first of all, Bama's pass defense, and then can Derrick Henry actually run the ball against a team that let up 163 yards against a team that they beat by 50 points. So if they beat a team by 50 points, they still let up 163, I'm pretty sure, rushing yards. I don't count me on that. I don't remember what I wrote. This was Wednesday. My guess is that, again, my prediction is that Ole Miss is going to emphasize the air raid offense, and, you know, that's just that's not to say that Robert Kimdichie won't run another touchdown on the season, which was
really, it was kind of interesting to me that they uncorked that play week one against was it UT Martin they played week one?
UT Martin,
You kind of keep that one in your back pocket for a couple weeks till, I don't know, maybe you played Alabama.
you would think that that would be something, especially when you see kind of the things that Nick Saban does, where he will pull the, I believe it's the Bill Belichick play, where he will line up the tackle on the side,
right,
and he'll be the last guy in the field, which means he's an eligible receiver, and you'll see your tackle take off down the field. Nobody picks him up, and he catches the ball. Likewise, Robert Kimdichie, being a defensive player, lining up on offense and catching a ball basically as an H-back, I'm pretty sure that's what he was kind of lined up as. You think they'd wait on that, but you know what? That's just something that Bama knows and they're going to look for. I don't think Ole Miss is going to try pulling that trick again. But
yeah, I would imagine not.
Yeah,
I would imagine not. I don't know. It should be a great game. Again, like, you know, late night, not late night, but kind of under the lights in Tuscaloosa. These SEC matchups can get squirrely, man. They can get weird real quick. Do you want to pick it? Do you want to call it?
Man, I'm going to have to pick Alabama. That's me with my Bama hat on and with it off. I'm picking Alabama. And the reason I'm picking them is because you have to think that Alabama has kept some tricks of their own. They didn't really need too many against Wisconsin. And I think that this game, you're going to get to see Derrick Henry make a great game. I cannot see Ole Miss's defense really living up to the hype that we think they should from the performance they've had. I think their offense is going to score. I think we're going to look at a situation where Ole Miss becomes another team that thrives on outscoring your opponent instead of beating them on the defensive side.
Right. But
that's just my prediction. Nick, what about you?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Alabama struggles in pass defense. I'm going to say that Kimdichie and crew in that front seven can slow down the Alabama rushing game. And, oh, hey, the dog thinks so too. Kind of loose on a Friday here. and I'm going to take the Rebels, man. Last year, Bo Wallace – kind of wilted in the bigger moments. Sometimes Chad Kelly, some behavioral issues, but he just doesn't, I don't know, from what I've seen of him, he doesn't seem to make the bad decision so far. We'll see how he does against Bama, but I think Ole Miss is totally capable of doing it. I think this is definitely in the cards. I feel it, man. I feel it down in my plums.
And some non-actual football, like on-field related things. Number one, Chad Kelly denied Alabama twice.
Yes.
First
yes.
when he was recruited, second when he got booted off of Clemson. He said no to him twice. So yeah. Saban remembers that, by the way, and he ain't happy about it. And another fun little stat, Ole Miss has never beaten Alabama twice in a row, ever. Never happened. So we're even talking like during
Bill Curry
years.
I still feel good about my pick, though. I still feel good about it. I won't be surprised if
you're
allowed
to. You're okay to.
It's all right.
It's okay.
This is a safe space. We're in the trust tree.
Yes, exactly.
So that wraps up the previews we have on script. I'm about to go watch FSU take on Boston College.
Go Noles!
If I could briefly give my take on that. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
What do you think? Boston College is well coached. I like Steve Adazio. They're physical. Like I said, the dog just not cooperating. Sorry.
Nick, I still say it's going to be a question of how many yards will Dalvin Cook run, and how many. But
yes,
my question I've been asking is how many hundreds of yards is he going to run? Because I think that this guy is so freaking good. I put him in my, now he's in my short list to win the Heisman. And I think that playing against this Boston College team is going to elevate him even more. But who knows? You know, that's just me.
So let's play this game. Over under for Dalvin Cook yardage against BC. Who? Give me a number and then take the over or the under.
Oh. Okay. Hold on. Okay. I'm actually going to say 165.
Okay, and you think he'll have more or less than that?
I think he's going to have more than that.
Yeah, I was going to say 175, and I was going to take the over. Okay. I think he spreads, man. I think, yeah.
Oh, sure.
And that O-line for Florida State is still kind of working the kinks out. We saw that last week. Struggled in pass blocking situations, but still, as disjointed as they were, they still managed to get Dalvin Cook to 266.
Yeah,
so
man.
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be interesting. A little Friday night football. Did want to mention the Noles because I know a lot of our listeners are regional. You know, I'm sure
there's
a lot of my friends, maybe. Maybe we're we're digging ourselves a grave here, Rob. Florida State's gonna be fine. Dalvin Cook, 175 yards.
It's, yeah.
You know, 13-10, third quarter.
Ways.
FSU trailing.
Hey, I don't care what the score is. Dalvin Cook's gonna get his yards. I can guarantee you, he's gonna get his yards.
Yeah,
and it's
man's
because,
gonna eat.
You just can't see. Everett Golson, you can't see him getting any passes out because he's getting rushed all the time. And when he gets rushed, he goes down because he seems to make bad decisions. But the good decision,
so long.
And the good decision is checking out of the play and giving the ball to Dalvin. There's your answer. If they can do that, they may not win the game, but he will get a lot of yardage out of it. And if they don't win the game, it's because of other people's mistakes, not Dalvin. That's what I'm going to. That's
yeah,
what I'm calling.
Maybe Jimbo puts Dalvin out in the flat or something like
exactly.
that, and he's Golson's safety valve or something.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys.
One more thing. Do we have
one
more thing?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So our outkicked our coverage coach of the week.
Oh yeah.
Mark D'Antonio was on National ESPN Radio this week talking about how sometimes Michigan State outkicks their coverage. Don't always, they recruit very well, but it's not always the five-star guys. So sometimes the Spartans outkick their coverage in terms of talent and how they perform on the field. And then D'Antonio added that he might have outkicked his coverage with his wife. Coach, we're with you, man. We're in the same boat. So congratulations, Mark D'Antonio, for outkicking your coverage from two guys who are in very similar situations.
Yeah, and I'm looking it up right now because I didn't look up to see what she looked like before. You know what? Good job, dude. Good job.
On you, coach.
Let's be fair though. D'Antonio's not an ugly dude. He's not like Brett Bielema ugly. Brett Bielema's the ugliest freaking coach in all of college football. And now I say that, the only person who could beat him out, correct me on this, Nick. I don't know who he's coaching right now, but Charlie Weiss would have been. He's not coaching right now, right? He's not coaching anybody.
No one? He's coaching anyone? Do we want to Google? Let's Google.
I just did. He's not. He's not the current coach anywhere. He is not
anywhere. Not even like a position coach.
I don't see
in the NFL somewhere.
Yeah, it said he was most recently the head coach of Kansas. So,
man,
yeah.
He left that program in good shape, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, anyways, so they're yeah. If Charlie Weiss was in this, I'd say he would contend for the ugliest, but he's not. That is
so
now going to live with. That's going to live with Brett Bielema for the moment. And if you think that you know of an uglier coach than Brett Bielema, go ahead and shoot us something on Twitter. Write us an email. You can always check us out on Facebook at Outkicked Our Coverage. The Twitter is at Outkick Coverage. Shoot us an email.
Time.
I know it, brah. email is outkickedourcoverage@gmail.com. Hey, Nick, should they go to the website?
Absolutely freaking not.
Don't do it. And remember to outkick your coverage every day, and if you haven't locked it down by midnight, it's not worth it. We will
enjoy
see you all.
Football.
Yeah, enjoy your football this weekend. We'll see you. We'll see you next weekend, hopefully on Wednesday night, maybe.
Sorry, podcast is late.
Anyways,
and short.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye.